This is episode number 55 with Jen Esker. Welcome back to the Rise Higher podcast. I really appreciate you guys spending some of your precious time with me today. And I know you are going to love today's episode with my beautiful friend, Jen Esker. I know you guys are going to feel her strength, her love, and you're going to get a lot of good nuggets on how to heal the pain in your body and to release any insecurities from your heart. Now, Jen is a top 40 physical therapy influencer, and she's been named one of the top 50 most influential healthcare professionals. She's got a doctorate in physical therapy and is ranked as one of the best fitness trainers on IG by Shape Magazine. And she's been featured in Self Magazine, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Fitness, as well as select interview guests on CBS and on the Rise podcast with Mogul CEO Rachel Hollis. Now, Jen is the founder and owner of Mobility Method. She sits on the medical advisory board for Women's Health and Strong Fitness magazine, and she's an online sensation with more than 500,000 followers and viral videos with millions of views, helping people shape and reshape how they use their body. She's an expert in physical therapy, and she speaks all over the country on the topic of health and longevity, attracting customers from stay-at-home moms to Hollywood actors and Olympic athletes. And as a self-proclaimed mover, Jenna spent more than two-thirds of her life upside down, helping herself and those who are willing to listen to their body, reverse aging, eliminate pain, and do the things they never thought possible. Now, I'm guessing you may already know Jen, but if you don't, you're definitely going to want to follow her on the socials because she provides so much inspiration and a ton of value. And Jen, as you heard, has built a massive following online. And as her following grew, she had to grow through it to really love herself, to embrace her beauty, and to fully show all of who she is online, not just how strong her body is and how rad she looks when she's upside down. You know, I know for many of us, it can feel really scary or even strange to fully share ourselves with others and the world, but we all have so much value. And when we own our value and truly love ourselves, that allows us to show up powerfully and fully to share ourselves with others and to share our gifts out to the world. Now, when we ditch the disempowering stories and release any insecurities, we truly become who we're meant to be, and we're able to shine our light out big. So while Jen talks a lot about healing pain in the body today, which she's a total badass expert in, she also drops in deep about her healing our mind and our soul to let go of self-judgments and shame, to release the old stories and insecurities so you can truly experience happiness, inner peace, and the fulfillment that your soul is craving. And she shares her story of how she did that along the way. So in today's episode, some of the other things that we talk about are how to overcome insecurities, the importance of breath work and mindset in healing your body, why you should focus on increasing awareness, how to stop the negative self-talk, how to observe pain rather than ignore it, tips to heal your mind and body, and why you should make a habit of paying attention to your body, and of course, so much more. I'm so pumped for you guys to connect with Jen today. I can't wait to hear what you think of today's episode. Make sure that you share this one out, since I know a lot of peeps struggle with self-judgment, with shame and insecurities. And a lot of people are also working through physical pain, which is really, you know, a manifestation of the mind. So share this episode out. Take a screenshot of the podcast that you're listening to right now. Tag me on Instagram at I am Stephanie Kwong so I know that you're listening and so that I can give you some love right back. All right, guys, here's Jen. We got the beautiful, the amazing, the badass, and inspiring Jen S. Kerr in the house.
Yay!
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you so much for being on the show today. I so appreciate you, girl.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yes! It's going to be love fest up in here.
Yeah.
So, Jen, I love this. Like, we, guys, before we started rolling, Jen and I were just chatting because I'm like, look, I went online. I'm looking at everything, trying to listen to things that you've been on to, you know, really make this as juicy of an episode as possible. And all I was finding was what you are a pro at, which is movement, mobility, and you've helped so many people, and we're definitely going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But then I was asking Jen, I'm like, what can we actually talk about that's like super juicy that really fits the intention of the show is, you know, sharing people's struggle and setback and what they do specifically to rise higher and overcome. And I'm so grateful, Jen, because you just went there with me. And we're going to go there right now. Yes. But guys, just so you know, Jen is a doctor of physical therapy. She's a movement enthusiast. She treats people privately in LA, but massively online. Mm-hmm. And you've built such a huge following online. And it was so organic and so beautiful versus people who I know. Sometimes they have their tricks of how they do it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what you thought would ever happen right. as a shy kid. And I would love to for you to share your journey of like being that shy girl to now having people look to you and, you know, need your energy and making certain comments and things like that. Like, what's been that path for you?
How's it been? Oh, my God. It's been such a crazy journey. I was even talking to my mom on the way here and like, can you believe that your shy child is doing what she's doing now? Isn't that like shocking?
What'd she say? She's like, I always knew it was in you.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Something, you know, some mom phrase.
So good.
But, you know, I mean, it's been crazy to step into this environment and come into like, I used to say like, oh, business, that's over my head. And like joke about it, laugh about it. Never intended to like just what I have now and how I'm affecting people without touching them, without having to do anything. I mean, it's like it blows my mind.
Blows my mind. Sierra was telling me about your launches. I was like, holy shit, what? Like, it's amazing. But I was like, of course, because it's Jen.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
Yes. But so you, what had you start, because I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to lead into it without actually taking the story away from you sharing it, but you started sharing yourself online a bit more. And I know that for many people, social media can be a big trigger right now. I know that it's a big cause for people to compare themselves and to feel less than and feel depressed or all those other emotions. And you didn't really have that exactly in terms of the comparison, but there was something else that came up for you. But first, how did you start growing your, I guess you would say, following on social? And then how had that impacted you over time?
Yeah. So, I mean, funny enough, so I was in grad school and I used to be a gymnast and I like to do my outside workouts and maintain my pull-ups and body weight strength and all of that. And so I would post my workouts outside. And at the time I saw this thing called calisthenics, which is really just body weight movement, but it was becoming like more of a sport outside and people were posting on bars and like having competitions and stuff. And so I started tagging the calisthenic pages and hashtagging them and stuff. I mean, just, I don't know what I really intended out of that. So I would show my workouts outside and then I would tag them. And one day one of them reached out to me. And at the time, this is what, like 4.5 years ago, one of the guys had like 300,000 followers and he reached out to me. And I was like, oh my God, someone with 300,000 followers reached out to me.
Oh God.
Just so funny. And
I love it. It's a very real thing.
Very real. And then he was like, oh, we all get together in Venice on Sundays. You should come out and train with us. And at the time, I lived inland, like an hour and a half away with no traffic.
Whoa.
So far.
Yeah.
And, but I was like, yeah, this sounds amazing. Like, why wouldn't I go on a train? And he would post anyone who was in the calisthenic community. Mm. And it was so cool because the moment that I got down there and met them all, I was like, I remember sitting on the beam and I was with my girlfriends because I had to bring my support, my backup.
Yes, of course.
and they like, the guys went through one by one and introduced themselves, like shook my hand and introduced themselves and were so open, so nice, so motivating to each other, helping each other learn new skills and learn new things. It was like such a cool environment. Mm. And I was like immediately like, oh, these are my people. They're so nice and they like to move. And he would post anyone in the calisthenic community. So eventually he started posting me and he asked me to compete in like the female division and stuff. And so he was posting me a bit more. And so I started gaining a following. And the more that I started noticing people coming to my page, I was like, oh, so no more personal photos, no more family photos. Like this is now like, look at me do handstands.
And you do them very well.
Thank you. So it became my fitness journey and like kind of discovering how to do calisthenics and all of that. But the more that I started to post, like I was inspired by people getting value out of my fitness journey and learning new skills and wanting to see how I was coming about that. But I also had some deep-rooted insecurities of not wanting to really be judged based on my appearance or my look or anything like that. So it became like, look at what my body can do. Don't look at me. I'm not going to do selfies. I'm not going to do all this other stuff. Like, just look at what my body can do. And I never even like posted my face really. I was like always upside down in a handstand or learning a new skill or flipping around the bar or whatever it may be. And at the time I had been with someone during this growth period as well. As like everything started to grow, I noticed this one comment that said on his page, and of course, you know, I'm digging for the comments. I'm digging for whatever it would be to stand out to me, to feed into my insecurities and be like, see, I was right. Mm. And this one person said, you know, she has a good body. I get that, but you could do so much better. And it just like hit me. I was like, oh, okay. So see, that's why I don't post my face. That's why I don't do anything of that because I'm not pretty. Or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And just like continuing to like feed into what I would tell myself.
Mm-hmm. Were you telling yourself that before? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's always been the story. Mm-hmm. And then it just got more intense mm-hmm. as more people started following you. Then you're like, whoa, 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 hold on. I really shouldn't show now.
Yeah.
And then you're digging for the evidence to prove yourself right.
Yes.
And probably there was all these comments of, she's so positivity. Beautiful, she's so amazing, yeah, of course, oh my God. And course. Then there's that one in all like comment number 357 on the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I found it.
See, I was right.
Evidence, because some rando stranger has no idea who I am.
Exactly.
And has a different view of perception of what beauty is for them, said this.
Yeah.
So he's right or she's right.
Yeah.
And so am I.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so ridiculous, right? But I have had these things that had been present in me prior. And it actually took, like, I was getting ready one morning. And per usual, I'm, like, in the mirror, like, oh, my hair looks bad. Oh, I look fat. Oh, this, like, just tearing little things apart and saying it out loud.
Ooh.
And because that literally was how I got ready in the morning. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And the person I was with at the time goes, you know, you're creating a really negative space around you. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not talking to you. This is just for me.
You keep your negativity over there telling me I'm being negative.
But it was really like an eye opener, like, whoa, like I know that it might sound negative for me, but I didn't know that I was creating an environment around me toward other people that would be negative. And then I remember going to dinner with my parents and my mom and I are in the restroom and my mom's like in front of the mirror, like, oh, this looks bad. Oh, my hair. Oh, this. And I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm you.
Wow.
And then, you know, but not just her. I noticed it from friends. Just little subtle things like, oh, I feel so fat today, or oh, this and that. Like little things that we as women, I think especially, take for granted and don't really realize how much we're like actually tearing ourselves down.
Yep.
And we get validation from friends. No, you look beautiful. No, you look this. No, you look that. Not even needing that.
Yep.
But it was just like present in conversations. And so that's what really made me be like, okay, this gets to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided to come up with a game plan. Like, how am I going to actually start to address these insecurities?
I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to hear. No, because this is a huge topic for a lot of people. And you don't even realize how subtle the digs are.
Yeah.
It's so unconscious for so many people.
So unconscious.
You don't even realize, like, you're right. Even the little things, like if you look in the mirror, like, oh, look at that wrinkle, or oh, that zit.
Yep.
Or ew, even like you said, my hair looks bad. Who says? I think bedhead is sexy, by the way. But like, we judge ourselves
every
so often.
Little thing. Or like, take a picture, for example, with a group of friends. What is the first thing that you do? You go to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You look at yourself and look for a flaw. Like, oh, that doesn't look bad. Let's take it again. Oh, that doesn't look bad. Oh, I look fat in that angle. Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
We always go for that one thing instead of like, look at this group of people that I'm surrounded by. Or look at this cool environment. Or whatever it may be. We go through the negative first rather than appreciating what is actually in that photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going to what you said, it's just a reflection of what you're feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to look for the very thing that's within you.
Yeah.
So if you don't feel that you are attractive or good enough or any of the stuff, you're going to continuously search for evidence externally to validate that. Which is why it's so key if we want to see more beauty in our environment, if we want to see more beauty in ourselves or just more appreciation and gratitude, all that, which is what elevates our energy, we got to find it within ourselves first.
100%. Because the mirror that you put up in front of you is the mirror that you're putting up to the world.
Say that again.
The mirror you put up to yourself is the mirror you're putting up to the world.
1,000,000%.
Oh, but yeah, it's so, so true. And I didn't really get that. I didn't get that back then. It was so subconscious, like you were saying. It's just something that like was a part of my everyday getting ready, my experience with my friends, like whatever it may be. It was just normal and natural.
Yeah. And how beautiful was it that you were able to have someone be able to point that out to you? Because sometimes we don't see that. And when you have people actually reflect back to you what's happening or that... Yeah, that negativity does spread into the space.
Yeah.
And we are that powerful to affect the energy of the room
or
of others.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when someone walks in a room, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when someone walks in a room, you're like, oh, I want to go talk to that person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their energy, whatever they're vibing at. So what were the steps? How did you start to...
Yeah, love. But I think like you even saying that he pointed it out, I think that's a really good thing because he pointed it out, but he did it in a loving way. He didn't attack me. He didn't make me wrong. He like very lovingly just pointed out that I'm creating this space around me that is more negative in a very gentle, loving way.
Yeah.
And I think that gets to be like heard as well. So like, don't go to your significant other and be like, well, you're doing this and like be all negative toward them. You know, that's not going to allow someone to really hear it.
Yep.
And I think the way that he did it really allowed me to hear it because I'm sure other people have said it or other people have like pointed that out, but I didn't get it until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I vowed to then write 3 things I loved about myself and I'm grateful about myself every day.
Yes.
So not 3 things I loved about my environment or the people or anything else, but it had to be about me.
Mm. Do you remember what the first 3 things were that you ever wrote down?
They're in my phone still. I don't know if I want to pull it up.
I was like, okay, I'm looking at Jen right now. I was like, girl, dude, pull it up. That would be cool for you to see even. Just like,
I know.
What were the
I wonder if it still is. I mean, okay. Let's see really quickly if it is in here. So I did this for 30 days. Oh, it just went away. Okay, let's see. So I did this for 30 days to really see what was going to come up for me.
Mm-hmm. Was it something that you assigned yourself or did somebody like say, hey, here's a practice that you could do? You just kind of intuitively thought of it on your own?
I can't find it right now. Yes, I assigned it for myself And I think at the time I was thinking through ideas of what I could do. And that was one of them that resonated with me of like, okay, I can start with this. And I also made a conscious effort to tell my mom and to tell my friends and to request support. So
my hands are up right now in V formation because I'm like, yes.
So I said, you know, if you hear me say anything negative about myself, can you stop me and make me turn that around right then? And if I hear you say anything negative about yourself, I'm going to stop you. And I'm going to request that you turn that around as well. And also when I met my previous partner, I think we go through this thing of learning to be humble, and you can't be cocky, you can't be whatever it is. And so it was the hardest thing for me to receive compliments. I couldn't receive compliments. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even say thank you. He would give me so many compliments when we first met, and I'd be like, oh, shut up, or oh, you're biased, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, like constant you know, deflection or didn't believe him or whatever it may be. And I don't know if that was because I was raised to be humble, if that was the example that I saw or whatever it may be. Like I couldn't receive.
So in here? I don't see that as humility. I see that as, again, the reflection of how you felt about yourself.
Totally.
Right? Because if you 100%. Already before didn't see yourself as beautiful or whatever that might be, whenever people acknowledge that, we're like, what are you talking about? Because we can't see it.
Exactly.
We have such a most people have distorted lenses. Yes. When they look at themselves, they see other people more clearly, right? We're like, I see your greatness.
Yeah.
I see your beauty. Yeah. I see
you're
your
so
like
gorgeous.
Amazingness.
Oh my God.
And then like you look at yourself and all of a sudden it's like mud gets thrown on your lens.
Yeah.
And that's what you see.
100%.
And so then if that's what you're looking at and someone's like, it's beautiful, you're like, no, it's muddy. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when you can see it, then when others acknowledge it, you're like, oh yeah, it is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly that was my issue.
Yeah.
Because I had zero idea what was really within me or appreciating or loving myself. And so it really took that. And it was like, it just doing that on a continual basis and requesting support and also just becoming more aware of it and noticing it when my friends would bring it up or anything like that, like it became so much easier.
Ooh, yes.
So much easier. And it was like such a blessing too that my mom was like, okay.
And I love your mom so much.
Me too. And willing to like do it with me. And not speak negative about herself because she's a freaking badass who could do handstands with me and is super fit and amazing, 60-plus-year-old, you know? Like, yeah, incredible. So there's no need to tear anything down there.
No.
And of course, like you said, we see that and we can always point out other people of like how amazing they look. So, you know, with that continued practice, then it got easier for me to be able to take photos. Because even with photos, it'd be like, oh, let me hide my face. Let me hide this. Let me like scrunch up my shoulders and show you from behind or like whatever it may be. Like I couldn't take a good face on photo or like I'd be like making a weird face because like trying to like instead of just being able to be like my fullest expression and whatever you capture, like this is me.
Yep. Yep.
And it was always like very forced, very fake. And now it's so funny because I can notice it in other people when I'm like, babe, just be you. Like just show up and you just smile. Just let it flow. Just let it. Because that is the most beautiful thing. No matter what your body looks like, outward appearance, anything. The more you own like whatever the heck it is that you're owning, like the more beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that radiance off a picture and your energy off a photo and everything. So it's just been like a huge lesson. But through that, you know, then I've been able to post. I started posting photos of myself.
Thank goodness.
I even did a video of like me holding it and talking. And I was like, oh my God, this is so scary.
But it's happening. Oh my God, it's happening right now.
It's happening. And you know, and no one talked about like anything bad and everyone just wanted value. Cause I was like asking about like body stuff and what would you guys want to learn and everything like that. And it just like, oh yeah, if I just be me and continue to show up that way, people receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so allowing that to be something that people could receive too, because me just posting videos, just posting things, like you can get a little bit out of it. But if I'm actually talking to you about it now, if I'm actually showing personality, and if I'm actually explaining things a little bit better than within the caption, especially for what I do, talking about body and everything, it helps to relate in such a better way. Yeah. And I'm able to connect with so many more people and get my message across, which is my whole mission, is getting my message across.
Yep.
So the fact that now I can do that, now I can go on lives, I can go on speaking, I can do all these other things. And like, that's just a part of what I do now. And it becomes so easy. I'm sure if someone saw me now, they'd be like, this has always been easy for you. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't.
Thank you for sharing that. Because again, what we talked about before we started, we hit the record button, is that everybody makes the assumption because they're watching you now do it so effortlessly. They're like, oh, well, it's easy for her. Mm-hmm. Well, she just is naturally born that way.
Yeah.
And people don't actually get an opportunity to have a window into what is the truth or what was the truth for you.
Right.
That shyness that turned into like the self-judgment that then you broke through. Mm-hmm. Was just doing that 30-day
No, practice. That was not enough.
Okay. I was like, dang, girl. I know. I was like, everybody, go.
I know, right? That was the start. And it was a great, great, great start. And it really shifted my language. And I learned how to receive compliments. And I learned how to change my language around my friends and about myself and even getting ready in the morning. So huge shifts in that way. And still kind of just the surface. Not really getting down to the root causes of everything. So I actually... big shout out to ALA.
I just interviewed Jenna the other day. Oh, I was down in San Diego hanging out with them, her and Brad. Oh, I love them.
Yeah. So Ascension Leadership Academy in San Diego, game changer. Mm-hmm. 100% game changer. Because even going into that, after I had done this whole practice and I was like, oh no, I'm good. You know, like I know myself, I'm confident, blah, blah, blah. Like even going through that, I was still showing up, not talking, shy, in the back, observing, and not allowing myself to still be seen.
And shine, so, yeah, and share your gifts and show up and own the space.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so realizing like, oh, I still have work to do.
The 30 days didn't fix everything. Dang it.
Like, okay. And so really being able to see that and do the work and dive full force in, no matter how hard it can be and how scary it could be, was really the thing that took me to the next level. Mm. And
what did you discover? Are you willing to share? Like, what was the root and what did you not know? Mm-hmm. That was the thing hiding out, holding you back.
I put the labels on myself, ultimately. I was the younger child. I was the quiet one. I was the shy one. But I termed myself those things. Like, my parents didn't do that. No one else did that. I created those labels for myself. And I continued to feed into them through everything. My cousins, like I grew up, my two cousins were my best friends growing up. We were all around the same age. And they were both like super outgoing and da-da-da. And Jen is like one Halloween, we went out, me and my cousins, and we dressed up as Wizard of Oz. And I was Dorothy because I'm like the quiet, perfect little one. And they are like the loud, crazy, like fun animal type people. And so it's like I continue to allow these labels to define who I am and put me in a box. But ultimately, the person who did that is me.
Yep.
And yes, may I have seen things patterned from different people or different ways? Sure. But I really have no one to blame but myself. Mm-hmm. And which is not a bad thing, being able to see that and confront that and like wake the hell up and change the conversation has been a really huge win. And the more, and it's practice, right? So I had practiced being really good at being shy and putting that label on myself and saying like, look at, and I practiced really hard with what I could do with my body. And so, I mean, from an early age, we had to be in a sport growing up. That was a requirement from my parents, which I'm so grateful for because it really like instilled movement in me. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, was continued practice. And even after I quit gymnastics at 16. I mean, people are like, oh, well, you had it easy. And I'm like, no, because I've had to, since I quit, I've had to maintain mobility and flexibility and strength and all these other things. Like, believe me, a lot of my gymnast friends don't have those things anymore because they didn't maintain it. So just because you were one thing 15 years ago, 16 years ago, doesn't mean that you still are.
Isn't it funny how some people, and I mean, I know that I, if I'm not paying attention to my language or I can also throw things out like that where like, well, they must.
Yeah.
And I'm learning more from obviously having these conversations, really getting under the hood that most everything that people have, it's some, it's easy because some things do come naturally to you and others, they really work their butt off to get there. And so for you, like that they just look at you and go, oh, well, it's easier for you. And you're like, no.
No, it's been a continued practice.
Yeah.
And that is my whole point of everything, especially with movement, is that it's a continued practice. So the same way that I've had to practice continuously into my body and be able to do the things I'm still doing with my body now and show it and like teach it is the same way that I've had to practice now with mindset because I've gotten so good at saying that I'm shy, not using my voice, not speaking up, not being the one to raise my hand in class, all these other things that I made up about myself. It's been a really good practice of what I've created. So now actually practicing speaking up, going up to people at a party, still a practice for me. Like I'm still like, oh my God, what am I going to say? Who? What are they going to think? What if I come up? Like it's still like I have these things that come into my head that like want to hold me back and be like, no, let's just observe. Let's wait for someone to say hi to me.
Wasn't I shy at some point?
Yeah, exactly.
Not anymore.
Exactly. So it's still, you know, a practice to be like, okay, I'm going to go speak. Okay, I'm going to go introduce myself. Okay, I'm going to go do all these things. And like really being able to be in the practice of it is what has transformed me and continues to transform me. I don't think we're ever one time done transformed. Mm-hmm. It's a continual practice and it's a continual choice because we have the choice to either make excuses and stay in our old story or rewrite the story.
Completely. Yeah. And that can happen in a split second. Like literally the moment you choose.
The moment you choose.
You can alter that moment.
Yeah.
The trajectory of that and your life based off of choosing something that's more empowering versus what you've been conditioned into.
Yeah.
I love that so much, Jen. And I love that you even shared that it's still a constant practice for you because again, from the outside, when people look in, we're like, well, you've got it figured out now.
Yeah.
Like you've already got the following. People approach you. You don't need to approach them or whatever blah, blah, blahs they want to say. And to actually hear you still go, well, no, I still get nervous to walk up to people and what am I going to say and all that. It's like, I think many people struggle with that internally because I know for most, the feeling of not being good enough or not lovable is like an epidemic, right?
It's so prevalent. It's such an epidemic, yes.
And so in order to combat that, in order to prove it wrong, you must be willing to, one, shift the conversation and two, take the action that also disproves that.
Yeah.
And so by you saying being in the practice, that's in the constant disproving and just embodying the being of who you really want to be.
Yeah.
And who you actually probably know who you were before all the yucky conditioning fell on top of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it really is like, even if you don't believe it fully, like, I'm enough. Like, oh, that feels weird to say. Or like, I'm worthy. Or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't believe it, just start saying it.
Just say it anyway.
Your mind will eventually catch on.
Eventually it's like, wait, you know the thing you keep saying over and over again?
Maybe that's true.
Yeah. Maybe I believe you. Like, what would that be like if I actually believed that I was enough? What would that be like if I believed I was worthy of having everything I wanted? What if I believed that people wanted to see me?
Yep.
And that it's okay to take up space. It's okay to use my voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are there... I know that you started off with the 30-day writing down three things that you love about yourself. And there's three other things that you wrote down, right?
No, I mean,
three things that you loved about yourself.
Three things
every day
I loved about myself.
For 30 days.
For 30 days. And changing the conversation with my mom. That's it. Changing the conversation with my friends.
So good.
And it really, like, I really have zero tolerance now for people who are going to put themselves down. I'm like, no, change it, change it. You know, even like I just, like a month ago, I took a photo, just like we were in whatever, I think PJs or whatever. And we did a handstand photo. Someone just randomly took it. And the first thing my friend says is something about her legs. And I was like, excuse me, you're in a handstand and you're in your 40s. That's amazing. Like, let's celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not, like, what your legs, first of all, are amazing. And and let's celebrate the fact that you're in a handstand. Let's celebrate the positive things and not have room for the negative things.
Yeah, I love that. And again, that whole, you know, where your attention is, where your focus goes, mm-hmm. energy flows, and mm-hmm. you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yes.
So if you're going to look for the fault or the something wrong, you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. Just like if you choose to look for what's good and right.
Yeah.
And then I don't know why this is coming up for me just to share like about the whole leg thing. It's like, you know, we were just at the Summit of Greatness and hearing Amy Purdy speak, who I'd never heard her speak before, but seeing her where she lost her legs, guys, if you don't know her, like, look her up. She's so inspiring.
She's amazing.
But like, for someone who is still owning and being grateful when she doesn't have her legs, and yet we're sitting here complaining about our legs or anything else when other people might not even have that mobility or those body parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, truly.
I mean, that was Amy's amazing. And one of the things I love about her is because she focuses on what she does have, not on what she doesn't have. That was one of her hugest things, because she was like, listen, yes, my legs got cut off and I could have lost my nose. I almost lost my hands. They almost had to cut off more extremities due to gangrene. And they were able to save that. So heck yeah, I'm going to be grateful for what I have. I still have my nose. I still have my hands. Wow. I still have these things that I wasn't supposed to have. And the fact that she focuses on like, okay, legs got cut off. Now I can use other legs in order to snowboard. Okay, those didn't work. Let's readjust. So instead of focusing on what isn't working, she continued to focus on what was working and how she can shift and how it could change.
Yes.
Which is everything.
Everything.
Literally. Everything.
Everything.
I mean, there's so many stories that I have about this. And this is why I'm like, we get to be so grateful for our bodies and everything it does for us because, you know, back in PT school, we got an opportunity to work with some cerebral palsy patients, one pretty severe, and he lived in a wheelchair. And he lived on his own. Like, you can't understand his speech because the motor control of his mouth doesn't work well. He's very contracted within his joints and his muscles, and so it looks super painful. But watching him get down from his wheelchair, put on his shoes and socks and shirt, it takes a long time and it looks painful. Mm. And then he pulls himself back up into his wheelchair. And then he tells us like he's showering for himself. He's making his bed. He's making his food. He uses the phone to dial in for transportation. Like, he is absolutely amazing. And the moment that he got too big to pull himself back into his wheelchair, he started swimming so that he can lose weight.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's someone who's literally using every ounce of their capability within what they have, within what they're born with, in order to just live, in order to just do these things like tie your shoe, put your shirt on, that we all take for granted. And again, coming back to this, we get to focus on what we do have, no matter what that is, rather than what we don't have, because what we don't have then becomes bigger and becomes bigger and becomes bigger.
Mm-hmm. Just like when we focus on what we do have,
yes,
it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger as well. And it really is up to you. It comes back to you every single freaking time. It's nobody else. It's all your responsibility of what do you want to experience in your reality. It's up to you to see things a certain way or show up in a certain way such that your environment produces the result that you want, because you did that, not someone else, or it's not happening at you. It's not like you're a victim and all, I just keep getting the crappy cards or these bad things keep occurring for me. It's like, hold on, are you the source of that?
Yes.
And if you are, what are you doing, thinking, you know, or being that's causing these things to reflect back what's inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
So I love this conversation so much right now. This makes me so happy.
Me too.
So when you now, do you feel that there's still places where you struggle or have the doubt or have still caught yourself looking? I know that you're like, I'm so on point with it, mm-hmm. but do you still catch yourself every now and then looking
at it? Of course. Okay. Of course.
Curious.
Not perfect with it.
Again, we talked about the practice. Yeah, I know it's a continuous practice.
It's a continual practice. And there are like moments where something will come up on social and it's like that moment of comparison. And then it's like, wait, no. No comparison. There's no need for comparison. They're beautiful in their own right, and I am too. And like, even like, I have grown up in a very perfectionist type mindset, especially coming from a gymnastics background where everything had to be perfect. Mm-hmm. So I will even catch myself with that. Like, the moment that I spoke in front of 1,000 people for the first time, that was like a huge thing for me, you know? And then getting off stage, I'm like, immediately like, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And like beating myself up for the things that I felt like I could have done better rather than being like, whoa. And it did. It took me a second to like, okay, let's stop beating myself up. I just did.
Yeah.
I just spoke in front of 1,000 people, which I never thought I would do. And that is a huge freaking win no matter how it turned out.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the shy girl who lived an hour and a half away from LA with no traffic. That's huge.
Yeah. So then doing that. And so I got to then, it happened pretty quickly, actually. I was able to shift my conversation and be like, whoa, let's stop beating myself up. That was amazing. Let's congratulate myself for what I just did and celebrate in that.
Yeah.
But it is still, it's still a practice. It's still something that I like stop focusing on these little things I could have done better and just focus on what I did do and like, okay, moving forward, this is what I could do from here. But also like, let's celebrate the wins. Let's celebrate what did happen. Let's celebrate the impact you were able to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this. Speaking of paving your own path as well, something else we talked about, you're saying when you were pursuing your physical therapy, right? You were kind of put in another box there.
Yeah.
I would love for you to share about that because I think a lot of people also are put in boxes from others.
Yes.
Based off of what they can dream up mm-hmm. and what they're capable of doing in what they choose to do. And I would love for you to share about that because this is powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, going into physical therapy school, first of all, I was teaching Pilates. And so at the time I was like, oh, I'll do Pilates rehab and I'll be a women's health therapist. And that's what I'm going to do. Realized both those things were not what I wanted to do, but you still only learn how to really either work in a clinic, mm-hmm. own your own clinic, which all of the owners who came and spoke at our quote unquote business class at PT school were all like, well, you can't have a relationship if you're going to open a clinic. You can't, like, you're going to lose money for 5 years before you make any profit. You're going to, like, all, like, fear, can't happen, scarcity. Or you work for someone else or you work in a hospital, home health, whatever it may be. But these are, like, the set things that you kind of work in as a physical therapist. But recently, when I became a physical therapist, we were granted something in California called direct access, mm-hmm. which means that a client or a patient doesn't have to go get a script from a doctor, from a MD. They could come straight to us, which is what chiropractors have had for years. Mm-hmm. Finally, physical therapists stepped up and were like, oh, hey, what about me? So, you know, we were sitting in the business class. And at the time, I was in my third year of PT school. And my boyfriend at the time was getting work done by his chiropractor who would come to his house. She brought her own table. She brought her own tools. And I swear her sessions looked like physical therapy because she was doing like soft tissue work. She barely adjusted maybe his thoracic spine, his upper back, and then did movement. And I was like, she has my job. How is this possible?
I thought
chiropractors just adjusted and that's it. And so, you know, I was asking her questions and how she did it. And I asked in class one day and I said, well, hey, there's a chiropractor who's working on her own, sees her own clients, sets her own plan, doesn't work for anyone else and doesn't have much overhead because she's not in a clinic. And I was like, now that we have direct access, can't we do that? And the response was, no, that can't happen. And I was like, what?
You guys, I'm not blind. I literally just saw this happen.
Exactly. I was like, what is this? Like, did you? And I like look back and I'm like, oh my God, you just told a class of like 60 something people that something is not possible.
Oof. And that these people don't know to challenge that.
Yeah.
And they'll just conform.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was also like social media wasn't what it is today. Of course, now there's many physical therapists in the social media platform and, you know, having programs and treating by themselves, which is a beautiful thing to see, and chiropractors. But it was not as well known back then. So, you know, from that, I took that as, okay, that's your opinion. Cool. And I'm going to get it. I did still go work in a clinic because I felt like I still needed mentoring and I still wanted to learn. But I also went into a CrossFit and I dropped off cards. I worked on the manager for free and I was able to start building clients on the side.
I love it. I just want to shout that out because, again, listen to what you did. Mm-hmm. I started going to places, dropping cards mm-hmm. off, working on people for free. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's that whole thing of like, don't do it for free. But sometimes when you're getting going, you got to do whatever it takes to like get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
And I think most people will hold themselves back thinking it's supposed to look a certain way or it's going to fall in your lap, but you got to be proactive and go after the things that you want. So I just need to highlight that because.
Thank you. I appreciate yes. that. Especially if what you're doing isn't as well known. Like, or people already have a certain stigmatism around it of what it's supposed to be and what it looks like. Because for physical therapy, especially, it's like, oh, well, you do the ultrasound, the electrical stimulation, you give me some movements with some bands and whatever else. It doesn't have to look like that. I don't use any modalities, meaning ultrasounds and electrical stimulation. I feel like they're band-aids. They can help in the symptom initially, but they don't help overall. So I don't use any of that. And so really teaching people also what I do. How I work on people, how I help people along their journey. And I always say this too, like go to someone who's going to facilitate your journey and not say that they're going to fix you.
Yep. No one can fix you.
No one can fix you. Not your mindset, not your business, not your body. I mean, unless, yes, you need emergency surgery or something. Sure. Go get that.
We hope you don't need that. Yeah. But yes, if you do need it, go get it.
Yeah. That will fix the problem.
Yeah.
But all these other things, you know, diet, everything, like we are the only ones who really heal ourselves and everyone else is there to facilitate and guide you along the journey.
Yeah. And also that the journey is your own, number one, personal. To finish what we were talking about before, that some people might say you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's coming from their limited mind.
Yeah.
You can either choose to listen to it or go, hold on, let me actually challenge that thought and mm-hmm. see if there's another way because you've completely gone against the grain on that. Like you've, you know, blew up on social media and your stuff is online and you heal people without even physically touching them.
It's amazing.
And you guide them and are a facilitator in supporting them in having a healthy body.
Yeah.
So I know that your mission is to heal the world and the best way that you can do that is through empowering people to learn how to heal themselves.
Yeah.
What would be like a first step for someone to start doing that?
First step, I think, is always increasing awareness because unless we know what's happening, we have no clue as to how to help ourselves. Mm. And that's always the first problem. That's always the issue of like, well, these symptoms keep popping up. Like, I don't know what to do because you don't have any awareness of what's happening within your body. So the first step is really, how can I start to increase my awareness? And also, I think what plays into that as well is understanding that pain, things that you feel, things that your body is telling you is just communication and it's not bad. And we get to have compassion for the fact that pain is going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel things throughout life.
And that's age and things.
Okay. Yeah. And that's okay. Like it's not something to beat up. It's just a tool in helping you increase your awareness and saying like, okay, I see you. Let's observe where that could be coming from. and also know that your body is like really good at healing itself. So if it has been over a few months and you're still feeling pain, I would really highly recommend diving into breath and mindset because yes, movement patterns and repetitive actions and all these things can create inflammation within the body and your body knows how to fight that off. Your body is so brilliant. It's so resilient, which is another reason why no one fixes you. You really ultimately fix yourself, and just learning the tools to kind of better manage that is the key. So the first thing that I like to take people back into is breath work. And really, when we take a deep breath in, like most people want to raise your shoulders, open up your chest, and think that you're filling up the lungs. But really, your diaphragm rests underneath your rib cage, your low rib cage. And so if we want, and it needs to drop in order for our lungs to expand. Mm. So in order for that to happen and really be able to get as much room for our diaphragm to move, we get to expand from our stomach and our belly and our rib cage out front and side, not up. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be an upward motion of our shoulders. When we take in more oxygen, it doesn't actually mean that you're going to get oxygen into your brain and into your body.
We're not breathing into our brain?
Yeah.
When my shoulders come up to my ears as I take a deep breath in, it's not actually pumping it up to my brain cells?
Yeah. So getting people to realize like, it happens first within our belly, within our rib cage, within slowing down the breath, breathing from the nose, keeping in more carbon dioxide actually, and stop expelling so much through the mouth. Like just breathe slowly, breathe slightly, breathe shallow, breathe, hold your breath sometimes, see how that feels, get your body to kind of start to observe itself, and dropping into that what is called the parasympathetic system, which is your rest, relax kind of state. Honestly, like I have clients who've been in back pain for years and I start them with this breathing technique of just starting to become more aware of breathing into the low rib cage and less into the chest. And I get patients who cry because all of a sudden they're like, I don't feel the pain.
Wow.
And I'm like, see, and I guarantee it's nothing I'm doing to you right now. This is all that's happening inside of you. And so really getting to drop back into our bodies, find compassion, lower our state of like our heightened state of being, which is where a lot of us lie in, is that stress, is that kind of go, go, go mentality, and dropping back and turning on our parasympathetic is a huge first place to go whenever you're feeling that moment of pain.
That's so good. I think, yeah, that's actually my go-to when mm-hmm. I feel stress is going back to the breath. We don't realize what a powerful tool we have mm-hmm. access to in any moment. And I love that you actually shared how to breathe because for most people, again, guys, don't lift your ears up to your shoulders and think you're pumping, you know, oxygen into your brain. No, it's really important to have it from your diaphragm. I know something that you had mentioned also when I heard you saying that there's a two-part conversation that you're having with your body. I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. So I actually think it's a three-part conversation.
It's changed.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait to hear your third.
So conversation in general, there's always an external conversation, meaning what someone is telling you. There's an internal conversation of what we're interpreting from it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the listening portion, which is the most important aspect, because if you're listening to me, you're saying you're worth listening to. And that's where I feel like we're not doing to our bodies. We're not saying you're worth listening to within our body.
Damn, girl.
Because we see these moments of pain. We see these moments of stress, of stomach ache, of whatever it may be. And we're like, no, this is bad. Let me take ibuprofen. Let me take Tums. Let me take whatever I can to put a Band-Aid over it, mask it, shut it off, make it go away, and not actually listen. And we cover up. We move into what's comfortable, not what is uncomfortable. We don't take the time to actually observe our body or even stop for a moment and breathe.
Yeah.
How often are we doing that? And so really getting back into this practice of like, okay, first of all, our external conversation that someone else is putting on us doesn't have to be what's true in any kind of aspect. And even down to your genetics and your hereditary of what diseases are passed down to you. We can change our environment. Our genes have the function to change.
Completely.
And we continue to learn more and more about this. So that conversation gets to change. Our internal conversation, everything we were already talking about, changing what what you don't have into what you do have. Yeah,
the self-talk to be way more loving than judgmental.
Yes, mm-hmm. Focusing on what you get to do, what you're blessed to do, rather than what you have to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just saying like, I have to do this, I have to go here, I have to go there. Like it's constricting. Mm-hmm. And like, literally guys, just try it right now. Like say like, you have to go pick up your kids. You have to go pick up the dog poop and change it into, I get to go pick up the dog poop because I have a cute, adorable dog that I get to love on.
Yes. And I just want to throw in there, the sister word to have to is should. So if you find yourself shooting on yourself.
Yes. Yeah. So huge. Cause get to is a choice.
Really. And then the listening piece is so powerful.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah, mine too, because I think so often we don't want to listen. Mm-mm. And I know that that contributes to a lot of people's emotional stuffing.
So much.
Which is what causes a lot of the internal pain, mm-hmm. mental pain, as well as it comes out into our physical pain. Mm-hmm. So listening to what we need in that moment, listening to giving our emotions, our thoughts, ourselves space to be and to pay attention to what's going on inside.
Yeah. To acknowledge rather than stuff is a huge thing. Like no matter what it may be, like even if it's like that moment of like a ping of jealousy and you're like, oh, and I don't want to feel this and you need to stuff it down. What if you said it? What if you wrote it down? And acknowledged it, and then you were able to come from a clearer space and be like, oh yeah, like I don't need to be jealous because of this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. But you gave it like space to sit in it rather than just try to stuff it. And I think that's what we do with pain so often as well, is like instead of giving pain space to really observe where it's coming from, whether it is physical or emotional, we try to stuff immediately.
Yeah. And I really love what you said. So I want to say it again, that we're worth listening to.
So worth listening to.
That's a really powerful way of saying it, because when you actually hear it in that way, you're like, wait, I don't listen to myself because I don't feel that I'm worth that. Mm-hmm. Versus, hold on, I am worth listening to. Mm-hmm. That's so good. What do you find is the most challenging thing about what you do, your work?
Oh, getting people to... to, you know, make this a habit.
Okay. I don't know why I was laughing because I had a feeling that you're going to say. Yeah, getting them to make this a habit.
Yeah. Of paying attention to their body, of putting into practice and creating the habit of like paying attention, listening, slowing down, breathing, doing exercises, moving every day, all those kinds of things. So getting people to back into the appreciation. I mean, especially if you have things like fibromyalgia, if you've been in chronic pain, all these other things, not that they're not true, 100% true. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have pain, because no one else can experience what you have. Mm-hmm. And you do have the ability to change it and adjust it. And so know that that's possible. And at least start like opening your mind to the idea that that's possible, and it will start to change itself.
It's so good. And for those who maybe struggle a little bit to continue to build the habit, that's why accountability is so huge.
Oh my God.
When you have the support, like for you, when you wanted to start to be more loving with yourself, you elicited the support of people around you. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with building any new habit, is to find the support and the accountability to stay the course, because our mind doesn't want the change. Our brains are like, no, I want to stay the same.
Exactly.
Don't try to introduce a new habit. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Especially one that's going to make me feel better. Stop it. Right? No, hold up on that. So in the moments, because you are building so much right now, do you have days where you're just like, I just don't want to do it? Or are you always, okay. And then when you...
100%.
Like, Stephanie, I'm human. When you have those moments, how do you get yourself back in the game?
Realizing and focusing out. So rather than focusing on how tired I am, how I feel, what's happening to me and what's happening, you know, whatever, actually taking a step to like read through comments, read through DMs, read through emails, and focus on the value and the gift that people are creating within themselves is a huge thing that gets me back on track. because it is exhausting. Like, so now I've been doing Instagram now for like 4 years, mm-hmm. and it is hard to create all the time.
Do you do your own or do you have someone doing yours?
I do my own.
Whew. Get it, girl.
Yeah.
That's why it feels so good. Truly, no, because it's you instead of someone else doing it for you. Yeah.
DMs, everything. I try to get back to them as much as I can. I swear to you guys, there's 99 plus all the time. So I'm doing my best. I cannot get to them all, but I do my best because I really, my goal is to connect with the people who are getting the value out of it and to start to see the value for themselves. Because the number one DM I get all the time is like, I have this pain. How do I fix this? How do I fix that? And my answer is always the same. Well, without an evaluation, I can't look at you. I can't help you. Nor can I prescribe a whole treatment plan through a DM. I'm sorry.
However, I do have these two great online programs that you must check out, which I will have you share about them, Jen, because I think they're really important and super valuable for people.
Thank you.
Yeah. And one thing that I also really love about what you do in your work is it's so much about the preventative mm-hmm. versus the reactive. So yes. often we don't nurture and care for our bodies and move them and take care of them now so that you can prevent future stuff versus people wait till something hurts or breaks or twists and then they want to seek the support. So it's super important to get moving now.
Yeah. 100%.
Can you talk about your programs? Because I want people to know all about them.
Of course. So I have the mobility method. Mm-hmm. That's like my baby. That's what I first created. And I created it solely for people to create and to start to listen to their own bodies. Because I don't believe in a one size fits all. I don't believe in a 12-step path to increasing mobility. I really believe that it is personalized and it gets to be personalized because your body, again, is a very unique system. Unique. Mm-hmm. And so you get to treat it as one. And when I do challenges, I do like everyone's doing the same 7 days to me. But guess what? Like some exercises are going to relate to some people, some are not, because not everybody is the same. And so what I created was a program where people could self-assess what's happening within their own bodies and increase their awareness, because I guarantee you move through that self-assessment and you're like, oh, I had no idea that was even tight or restricted, or that wasn't quote unquote normal range of motion, you know? So going through a self-assessment really is a tool to be able to just gain more awareness. And then it has tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of mobility solutions exercises that really go through exactly how to do the movement, how to modify and progress the movement, and how long you should be doing it for, everything so that you can create your own mobility plan. And my purpose in that is like, not so that you're now like having to spend an hour a day doing something, but so that you pick these exercises that are like, this one feels really good in the morning, and this one I like to do to get out of my desk, and this one is what I use before I work out, and this is my in my cool down, and this is before I go to bed. So all of a sudden you have like 6 different movements that you did, but you didn't have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
You broke it up within your day, so it actually becomes something we can start to build a habit around. Mm,
which is so good, because I think sometimes we – like I remember when I was first learned about the morning routine, like 10 years ago, and they're like, successful people have morning routines. Here's all the things you do. And I think I put like 10 things on there.
Oh my God, so much, right?
And I was like, 2 hours later, I was like, I can't sustain this. And you quit on yourself when you're trying to do too much at once.
Yeah.
So this is really beautiful that you're like breaking it down. It's like quick things, which I know that's what a lot of your program is like 2 minutes here, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Find what works for you, but move.
Yep. Exactly. And find what really works for your body. And it's a lifetime program so that you can always readjust.
That's
like,
great.
Oh, this one's feeling better. I'm getting more range of motion. What else can I dive into? Or, ooh, now my shoulder's feeling like a little wonky. What are some things I can do around the shoulder to actually help that? Like different things are going to come up in life, right? Mm-hmm. So having something that you can always refer back to is my goal.
I love it. You have one other program as well, right?
I do.
Okay.
So I have the Optimal Body, and that one is for the people who don't want to think. I know, because the mobility method, you do have to put in work. You do have to self-assess. You do have to see what exercises are going to be best. But if you don't want to do work, there is something called the Optimal Body, and it's a subscription plan that I put out different. So there's different functional HIIT workouts every month. There's different mobility flows every month that address every different part of the body, mm-hmm. And different core workouts every month to really understand what the core is, because newsflash, it's not the six pack.
It's not.
What? So really learning how to use the core in the most functional way that actually works for your body. Mm-hmm. And so it's just it's a big teaching tool. So you get my brain and kind of what I do for my own body.
Ooh, awesome.
Every single month.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. And then where can people connect with you or to find those programs?
So DocGenFit on Instagram is going to be where I'm highly most popular. I've been saying forever now that I'm going to do YouTube. It's just hard for me to get started, but I am on YouTube, DocGenFit. I do have interviews with people that I've done, and which are super cool interviews based on like the lives that I've done on Instagram. So if you want to look at those, and Facebook is basically the same thing as Instagram. I don't know how people have time to do all the platforms.
I don't even know.
It's really hard. Mm-mm. Like, I admire you for what you're doing. Just
put it on all platforms. Same thing.
I know, but like still having podcast and then Instagram and then Facebook, you know, it's a lot.
That's when you have people post stuff for you.
I know.
I like those parts of it because I do love the writing piece of it,
yeah,
but there's pieces that if you can like have someone else do it.
I know. Delegate is your friend.
Yes, it sure is.
So definitely. And then I can share a link for your
share the link, and we'll also link it up in the show notes, so guys, you can check that out at the show notes. But what is it?
Honestly, I can't remember right now, so I'll just I know. So, but I think it's docgenfit.com/flow, FLOW.
Okay.
So that's a free challenge that you can access at any time. So, definitely want to give your people that one so that they can access it and have it for free and start to learn and create their own flow within their bodies. Mm.
So good. All right, I got a few more questions for you to close us out.
Yeah.
What's something unique about you that most people don't know?
Oh gosh, I feel like we talked about that a lot.
Oh, so this is actually a podcast where you're revealed a lot.
Yeah,
that you haven't on other ones. I know, because every other one you're talking about like mobility and I'm like, which is great, but I was like, where's your heart? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. God, that people might not know about me. I have to do a handstand a day. At least one.
I'm sorry. Did you say have to?
Like, I get to, but like, it's really for sanity purposes.
Really?
It just feels so much better. Literally, if I'm like stress and anxiety, I'm going upside down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you,
anywhere, anytime, any place. This is why most of my dresses also have shorts underneath, because you never know what will happen.
Now you all know there's shorts under there.
Shorts underneath.
How long do you stay in the handstand for?
I really can't hold it more than a minute now because it's hard. But yeah, I'll just stay up and kind of breathe and it helps.
Yeah. Good to know. And well, then this kind of would be a similar-ish question.
Okay.
When you're in a dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Mm. Well, movement. Anything movement. So yes, handstands help, but honestly, just like movement in general, like even if I'm feeling moody, my partner will be like, ooh, do you need to go to the gym?
Babe, why don't you hop into a handstand?
Yeah.
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 Oh, interesting. And just as a quick thing, because I know there's such a link to mental health and physical movement, because so many people who have been on the show, and when I ask what's your go-to, a lot of them are like exercise,
move, get out in nature, walk, hike.
Move.
Yes.
So
everything.
Move your body.
100%. Doesn't have to look a certain way, just freaking move.
Yeah. And move it even when you're not feeling that way, because again, prevent.
Yeah.
Preventative.
And honestly, like even emotions, like put yourself in your room, like no one has to be looking. Allow yourself to move and see what happens, because your body will lead where your mind needs to go.
I'm going to do that again. Say it again. I'm going to do one of these. Say it again.
Your body will lead where your mind needs to go.
Yeah. So trust it.
Trust it and just
let it move.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Speak. Ah! Use your voice, girl.
How did I know that was coming? Like, girl, show it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Jen, thank you so much for being here with me today, for sharing your heart, your wisdom, your practices, your everything. You were such Oh, you're such a magical being. Every time I'm in your energetic space, I always feel so alive and inspired. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Yeah. That Jen is a magical one, isn't she? Oh, she's a total powerhouse with a heart of gold, and I'm so grateful for how raw and honest she got today with sharing her own journey to owning her beauty and her worth, and how she's such a catalyst for healing that in others. Now, if you've been struggling with being kind and loving with yourself, and you're ready to finally release the self-judgment, the self-doubt, self-beat-up, shame, blame, all that yuck stuff, then you definitely want to check out my Self-Love Transformation online course that shows you a bunch of powerful steps, processes, and daily practices to release negative self-talk and beliefs and to replace them with love so that you can come back to your own truth. And that is that you are enough, you are worthy, and you are so freaking lovable. I mean, imagine when you operate from that place, what's possible in your life. And I know that my self-love course will get you there. Or if you're also interested, another powerful practice is through my online course called Believe, which is my self-hypnosis mastery program that shows you how to partner with your mind to get out of your own way and reprogram your beliefs to easily have all the things that you want. So whether that's love, money, better health, you name it, your beliefs create your reality. And if you don't like what you're seeing in your reality, then you gotta do the inner work to change your subconscious beliefs. And my Self-Hypnosis Mastery course shows you exactly how to do that. So if you're interested, I'm gonna link up my Self-Love Transformation and Self-Hypnosis Mastery course up in the show notes. And you can find that over at StephanieKwong.com/EP55. And I'll also have all the links there to connect with the amazing Jen Esker. You definitely want to connect with her because, again, she's, as you heard, so inspiring and she's always putting out incredible content. All right, so to close this out, if there's someone you know who could benefit from this episode, pretty please share it with them. And if you got value from this episode, I would be deeply grateful if you just take a quick moment to write a 5-star review on iTunes, because this really supports the show to go up in the rankings so more people can find it, which means we can support even more people to rise higher together. So if you're down, I'd appreciate a review. And if you've already left one, thank you so much. Okay, again, if you want to connect with Jen and to learn more about her incredible work, or if you want to check out my online courses, you can get all that info in the show notes. And again, that's over at StephanieKwong.com/EP55. And feel free to check out all my other podcast episodes there too. Okay, my friends, until next time, as always, I'm sending you so much love.